What is up, everybody? This is the Two Guys Drinking Whiskey Podcast. My name is Neil.
I'm Christopher.
We are Two Guys Drinking Whiskey. This is your first time listening to the show. Welcome. We discuss whiskey, we drink whiskey, everything from local distilleries here in the Midwest to rare bottles from all around the globe. Today, we'll be tasting some nice Japanese whiskeys. We have four, to be exact, which is more than we usually do in a show, but seems like we've been doing more every show.
We usually plan on three and then pull one off the shelf or something goofy.
We're drinking more variety, but less of those varieties too, I think. So we're giving more value to the listeners. So thank you very much for joining us today. Christopher, how you feeling?
I feel fine.
All right, you feel
oddly
good?
Oddly enough, yeah. Hey, how about you?
I feel pretty good too. I'm not going to lie. I drank a ton of scotch last night.
Yeah, I think I probably put down a half a bottle.
I did too.
At least, and I feel chipper. I feel good. It's all that walking we did.
We took our kids trick-or-treating, and it was a ton of fun. We weren't just sitting there sucking it down, but something about drinking low-proof whiskey, whether it's, you know, single malt or scotch, anything like that, it's like I can just drink it all night and not really get shitty drunk.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of cool. This was no exception, except for my fiance told me that I was sweating out scotch all night. So she didn't want to get too close to me in bed.
Internal distillery going on.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. What do you do?
Sweat it out. So how was your first experience in the neighborhood for Halloween?
It was great. All things aside, COVID, you know, made a big factor in it, I think, but not really, because all the neighbors in our area were pretty cool. Everybody was giving out candy. A lot of people just had candy sitting out on their front step for kids to take. Yeah, it was nice.
Everybody gave out bags of candy. Like, we came home with more candy this year than ever before, because I think each bag they had like four pieces in it. You know?
I noticed that. Yeah, our kids are pretty pumped about it. They have a lot of candy.
Yeah, they're fucking spoiled.
And of course, last night I ravaged their bags and grabbed a couple pieces out. So pay the dad tax.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Pay that dad tax. Give me that candy.
I always take the Snickers and put them in the freezer. Well, it's a thing I have. I don't know.
You like frozen Snickers?
I guess, yeah.
Or you like to eat them right out of the freezer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they got a little crunch to them. That's good.
Interesting. Well, let's start drinking some whiskey, shall we?
Let's do it. I'm ready.
I'm ready too. I didn't know if I'd be ready. Yeah, let's start with our first one. So we have four different offerings today, and we'll just kind of go along and we'll announce them as we go. So this is White Oak Akashi Blended Whiskey.
I noticed most of these bottles don't have corks.
What they say about this, they say this is whiskey blended in the Scotch tradition. With Japanese precision, the malt is highly peated and vatting is mostly ex-bourbon, balanced by White Oak's unique variety of barrels. Tasting notes are that the nose is very fruity with apricots and dried fruits and a shy note of honey.
Okay. Very Japanese-like, I would guess. This would be the only one that has any peated notes of the night, right?
So they say.
I believe so. We'll see.
Let's give it a sniff.
Mm. It smells good. I get a lot of the fruit, a little bit of honey in there.
I like the way it smells.
How does it taste?
It tastes a little grainy to me. What are you getting out of it?
It's very dry.
It is.
It has that little bit of a... Something's dry to it. Like, I'm drinking a really dry white wine. More, and it's, you get that kind of same fruitiness that comes out of it. I don't get much peat at all. I don't even know if I get any.
I don't get any peat off it either.
Mm-mm. The finish kind of burns right now.
Yep. Like a young whiskey. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of transparency with this stuff. They're not really saying, you know, there's no age statement. This says it's 40% ex-bourbon. I don't know what other barrels they're using. They say they have their own mix of barrels or whatever they said.
Right.
Unique variety of barrels, that was their word.
Do they make any other, like, big-name brands at all? Or is this, like, this is them?
They do have a couple other ones. They have a 15-year-old. They have a malt. They have a 5-year. They have 8-year. They have a 14-year. Most of them are single malts. This one is the blend.
I think this is one I might use as a blended scotch mixer. If something called for a blended scotch or something like that,
mm-hmm.
It might be interesting to use this in it. I don't know if it's necessarily a neat drinker for me right now.
It's not bad. Like, this is something, it's just an easy drinker. Like, if you want to sip on something or just, like, give this to your friends that aren't maybe as experienced with a palate, for Japanese whiskey or anything. Like, oh, here's some nice Japanese whiskey to try. It'll give you kind of a little intro to what they do. It does have some very specific notes. Like, you can tell it's Japanese whiskey, but at the $40 price point, it's...
Oh, 40 bucks?
Yeah, this is 40 bucks. Not hitting it out of the park by any means, but it's okay. I probably won't buy it again. Been there, done that. Move on to something better, I think.
I would actually like to add a little bit of peat to it. I'm going to save some in my glass and come back to it and grab maybe the Lagavulin or maybe the Port Charlotte and just put a couple drops in it and see if it wakens it up just a little bit.
You're just really on the scotch kick now.
Yeah.
You want everything to kind of...
Yeah, I want everything to taste like... I want everything to taste like that. So
the thing I do enjoy about this is kind of have a nice... It has a nice fruity, creamy mouthfeel to it.
Sure.
So yeah. I can drink this and... I drink this while I'm cooking or something, and just kind of something I don't really think about too much.
Yeah, I don't want to think about it too much. Just drink. Yeah, I got it.
If you think about this one too much, you're going to maybe be disappointed.
Sure.
It doesn't have a strong, long finish. This is more something you sip and like, that's good.
I wonder if you could pair it with something. If this was paired with some type of fish or something else, if it would taste a little bit better. When it kind of breaks it up just a little bit, maybe.
I'm sure somebody could.
Not me.
We're not the best at food whiskey pairings, I don't think. we tried with the Halloween candy,
the popcorn butt plug,
which wasn't a horrible experience, but I feel like there's some people out there that we can maybe collaborate with to get some much better experience.
Every time I try to pair whiskey with food, the food comes off so much more hot. Mm-hmm. Like that pepper jack cheese that we had last night, along with the monkey shoulder. Like, I took a drink of the monkey shoulder, and it's hot. It brought out all those pepper notes on me, and I didn't care for it.
Kind of makes your palate more naked.
Yeah.
Like your tongue palate.
Wakens up all those little taste buds.
Yeah.
Bottle number two?
Bottle number two. We're coming in with the Hibiki Harmony, and it has a cork. It's a very nice bottle. This one is another blend. This comes from three different distilleries. So we got Yamazaki, we have Hakushu, and we have Cheetah.
Cheetah?
C-H-I-T-A. Take it from a guy from Wisconsin. Sounds like Cheetah. This one comes in at $80.
And pretty bottle, too. It looks like a decanter.
Yes, very nice bottle. This bottle in the sunlight, oh my God, it just like shines out really cool. So this actually is one that my girlfriend, or sorry, this is one that my fiance picked up.
Fiance.
Now. I know. I got to call her.
Got to get it right.
Called a fiance. I got engaged last weekend.
Yes, you did. Did you get down on one knee?
I sure did.
We haven't really talked about like how you really did it. Were you at the dinner table and stuff like that?
No, because I wanted to do it before we went out to dinner.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I wanted her to have it before we went out to dinner.
So, like, she was in the bathroom getting ready? Or
we were getting ready, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to do it, like... Because usually she's in her closet, like, getting ready.
You mean her other room?
Yeah. Her office /closet/ whatever.
Gotcha.
I'm like, what necklace are you wearing? And she's like, oh, I don't know. I'm just going to wear this little black one here. What do you think? I'm like, oh, you need something sparkly, I think.
Oh, God.
And she's like, oh, well, I got these bracelets. Let me try these bracelets on. I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right, hold on. I'm like, just stand right here. And I kind of like stood her like right in the middle of the room. And she's like, look at her face. She's like, what are you doing?
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, all right. And I started getting really nervous.
I'm about to get sweaty and oh, what if she says no?
My heart was beating. I'm like, oh, jeez.
Start getting the nervous poops or something.
Well, she thought something was wrong with me because I kept yawning before we were getting ready.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like walking around. I was like, oh, I got to do it now.
Yeah.
I got to do it now.
Yeah.
Wait, 5 minutes? No. But anyway, so yeah, I got down on one knee and I opened the box and I told her how much I loved her and I promised to take care of her for the rest of her life.
Oh boy.
And got all sappy and she was just in shock, but she was happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did she have to think about it or was it like a...
Oh no, she didn't have to think about it. She was happy, but she was caught off guard and she was just like, oh my God. Yeah.
Good for you guys. That's awesome. So,
thank you.
Yep. Never even seen it coming either. Thanks a lot for telling me.
Yeah. All
right. Awesome. That's awesome. Happy for you guys.
Thanks. Yep. The wedding will be awesome as well. Let's get back to this Japanese harmony, shall we?
Let's get back to it. Hey, fun fact. One of the distilleries this is made at, so one of the blended whiskeys that's in it, is at one of the highest distilleries in the world. It's considered to be in the Japanese version of the Alps.
Which one is that?
It would be, let's see here, I believe the Hakushu? If I'm saying it, I'm probably butchering names, but that's not my job.
I'll take your word for it.
And then the Yamazaki one is one more towards middle south of Japan. That's the one that we wanted to go visit if and when we go to Tokyo. They all look beautiful. They all look so old school, just very Willy Wonka's chocolate factory type looking thing. They really? They're like crazy looking. Yeah,
wow.
They look awesome. They're not very estate-esque like the American distilleries are.
Well, if you guys go, I'll be envious. Giving it a nose, the nose is much better, obviously, mm-hmm. than the other one. A little more there to it. It's not super complex, but I don't get really a complex nose out of any Japanese whiskey at this point. Fruity, of course.
I would encourage you to nose the Hibiki, the Harmony here, and then go back to the Akashi and see if the Akashi is any sweeter on the nose this time around.
The Akashi seems like it has more of a honeyed...
Yeah. Very much
like,
so.
Like a delicate honey to it.
Yeah.
Hibiki Harmony is more of that grainy, hayish.
A little bit. They say rosemary.
Rosemary.
In nose, yeah. Hmm. I don't know if I get that, but mature woodiness, yeah.
There's some mature woodiness there, sure. I'll go with mature wood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it a taste. It's pretty good. That's the short version.
Yeah, it's pretty even throughout.
It is.
It's not heavy on the, like a traditional Japanese whiskey in my mind, where it's heavy fruit forward.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get the heavy... Maybe it's honeysuckle or something like that.
Yep.
It's kind of, it's light. This one's heavier to me. It's got more woodiness, more... It's flavorful. It's good.
It has fruit notes, but they're... They seem like heavier fruiter notes.
Yeah.
Like light, heavy fruity notes.
They say candied orange peel.
Candied orange peel?
Yeah. I don't even know if they even... How...
I guess that would be a heavy light.
Sugar and bitterness or... Orange peels are just, oof.
I heard golden raisins.
Okay.
Like little boogers.
Mm-hmm. In Afghanistan, they used to put those in like all the food. It'd be like beans and raisins and...
Really?
Why? Yeah.
Just because it's what they did?
They'd carry raisins around in their pockets all the time.
Huh. Yeah. I guess it's so an easy food to get. You know?
Pistachios and raisins, yeah. Their food was awesome over there.
See, so yeah, this one coming in again, $80 range. What do you think at $80? You think this is twice as good as the Akashi? I don't think it's twice as good. I think it's better, but... This is, again, no age statement. It's a blend. They do add coloring to this, by the way.
Sure. I think I would like this on ice and a nice highball or something like that.
Mm, yeah.
And not... neat is good, but I would want to just be able to drink this and enjoy it. And
I compare this a lot to the Akashi just because it's still one of those drinks that it's something that I would drink while doing something else. You know.
Yeah, $80, you almost feel guilty doing that, though, don't you?
Right. Does it taste like $80, maybe?
I would say it tastes... More expensive than Akashi does.
It does. It is a little more luxurious flavor, a little richer. We're talking Japanese whiskey here, which isn't our first wheelhouse. When we taste these, it's like, oh, it's a nice little change of pace compared mm-hmm. to what we're normally used to.
I like it when scotches taste like a Japanese whiskey, but I don't know if I necessarily really like Japanese whiskey tasting like Japanese whiskey. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I think we'll find out on the next bottle, too, why I say that.
I'm that way with Irish whiskey.
Irish whiskey, you like it when it tastes like Japanese?
I like it when it doesn't taste like Irish whiskey.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, oh, this reminds me of something else that I like better.
There's not a lot out there that I like, that's for sure. There's got to be more Irish whiskeys out there, I don't know. There's got to be some heavy hitters that we're just missing. But
oh, yeah, there's a ton of them. We'll get there eventually.
We'll get there.
There's just so much whiskey to drink.
We drink a lot of it, too.
We do. We're drinking four different ones tonight.
Mm-hmm. Just think 50 some episodes in of three bottles. I mean, we're almost up to 100 different bottles.
I'm going to go through and count and see how many different ones we've done.
Yeah. We don't do a lot of repeats.
These are all non-repeats.
Mm-hmm. I do like the Hibiki Harmony, though.
That's
good.
Yes, that's a very good one. It's something anybody could drink, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I think the Harmony is more approachable than the Akashi is for me.
Yep. I could see... Some ladies enjoying this.
Little warmer notes, little good winter drink maybe.
Nothing abrasive about it either.
No, God, no.
It's just a good, easy, it's an easy lover.
Easy lover,
like
yeah.
Phil Collins.
Yeah.
Except for, what'd we say in the rye one? We said that Pinhook was the Phil Collins of rye whiskey.
Yeah.
You can tell I've been listening to a lot of easy rock.
I've been craving the Pinhook too, because ever since he said root beer on it, mm-hmm. it'll come out later, but... Yeah, root beer.
Yeah, be like, ooh, yeah.
All right, so ready for three?
I'm ready.
All right, another twist off. Handsome, squatty, square bottle. So we got the Nika whiskey from the barrel. So it comes in. This one's a little bit heavier than the rest of them, so 51.4%.
Ooh.
This has been in production for close to 30 years.
Okay.
But it only hit the U.S. market for the last probably two or 3 years. So new to us. Not new to whiskey in general.
New to the U.S.?
Yeah. I forget how this one hits you, but we'll see.
We're going to find out.
Don't let me ruin it for you.
And nose is more heavy whiskey,
I yeah, think. Woody for me.
Yep. It's got a little more masculinity to it, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree.
As were the Akashi and the Hibiki were very delicate, more feminine. I guess if that's a good way to describe it.
Sure. Yeah.
This is going to come in more John Wayne.
This is like the, it's going to come off really nerdy, but stay with me here.
Okay.
So if you're watching like the Hobbit movies or whatever, it's like the little masculine dwarf guy with a big fucking axe and a big beard and
oh,
stuff
yeah,
like
the
that.
Dwarf.
Yeah, that's this bottle for me.
it is short and stubby,
I know,
too.
Right?
Delicious.
It is, yep. So again, 51.4% alcohol by volume. In order to deliver its richness and full flavors, the blended liquid goes into used barrels for another few months or so it can be married. So this is a mixture of, I believe, malt and grain whiskey.
Sure.
But I can't find what grain whiskey they use.
Okay.
I would assume it's corn.
Could be fucking rice for all I know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So that's where it is. What was interesting about one of the distilleries this one's at is this comes from two different distilleries. And one of them that's up in the mountains, again, like very snowy or whatever, it's coal-fired.
Okay.
So it's not any type of gas or whatever. They still shovel fucking coal.
Damn.
Underneath the freaking stills, and that's how it's made. I kind of like that. That's a labor right there.
It is. Labor of love goes into their whiskey.
It comes from a high mountain distillery and a low foggy forest.
Ooh.
So you couldn't get any different in where these suckers are made.
When you taste this one, it's much more of a bite to your mouth, too.
Sure.
It's spicy, tastes more masculine, too.
I think this is one of those that needs to be appreciated, like, in a very intimate, like you and the whiskey setting.
Yes.
You can't drink this and do something else because I think it's going to creep up and bite your ass. I think that's a high ABV, the bold flavors that come out of it.
Yep.
I think they did a great job blending it. Blending might be getting that flavor you're looking for a little bit easier than just doing the single malts and stuff like that.
The other ones, you can do other things and enjoy it. This one, you really want to sit and give it some
right.
love by itself.
Right.
And I think the first time I tried this, I wasn't a huge fan.
You were not. No, this is my birthday. One of my birthday drinks because Joe wanted to do the yep. Japanese lineup.
That's mm-hmm. right. I like it now. Mm-hmm. We'll see what the next one is, but so far, this one is probably my favorite in the lineup.
I get a little hint of traditional Japanese whiskey on the finish on this guy. And I think that's what wraps around kind of like the more American type whiskey with the Japanese type finish on it. It's got a light finish to it, but it's bold up front. It demands your respect. It's like the samurai of the whiskey we're drinking.
This is not an easy bottle to find around here either.
No, actually, I've only seen it in one place in the Dells. And buying it in the Dells, it's a resort town, so we're paying extra tax on stuff over there. But some people rave about this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my husband, I bought it for him once. He's tried it, and this is his favorite whiskey ever. And people love this stuff. I think it's good. I probably would buy it again, honestly.
Okay.
It's been on my shelf for a while. I've been trying to save it for the show. It's one of those I think I would keep long term because it's more affordable.
Do you remember the price on this one?
I think it was $80.
So think $80 for the Nika from the Barrel compared to the Hibiki Harmony, which is going to be in the same $8 range.
Right.
I feel like you're getting more whiskey in the Nika than you are in the Hibiki.
Right. Both blends too. Very, very comparable. Maybe it's the high ABV that attracts me to the Nika from the Barrel as opposed to the Hibiki. All right. You ready for number four? I'm excited for this one because I've been kind of saving it quite a bit too. All right. So bottle number four is another bottle I picked up in the Dells. And this is one of those I was collecting dust at a liquor store I've never been to before. Wow. It was hiding behind a bunch of shit and behind the counter.
Really?
So I was like, ooh, what's that bottle back there? The Yamazaki 12 year. I was like, nice. Like, could you pull it? And, it, you know, she's like, sure. Like, no one ever buys this there or whatever. Like, what's the price on it? And I think it was like $125 or something like that at the time.
Okay.
Which I think it goes for like $150, $125 or something like that sure. around here. So it's not a cheap bottle at all.
It's a 12-year. I mean, 12-year anything is going to cost you a little more than normal.
Right. And just Japanese whiskey in general right now with an age statement is going to cost you more, I believe. Because there was such a shortage that they started blending everything.
Right.
To make, you know, you get the Hibiki, the Nika. Not that they didn't blend those before, but I think those are probably more available now because blending's easier as opposed to
definitely easier
getting the age statements out. So, yeah, Yamazaki 12 year. I've been looking for this bottle forever. Found it at the liquor store, and she was surprised I was going to buy it. I was like, you know what? God damn it. I'm here. I'm going to buy it.
Yep. Pounce on the opportunity.
And it is a twist off, too. It
looks dark.
A little bit. So I might have a line on the Yamazaki 18 year. Ooh. For samples in the future. I'm going to have to work that connection a little bit. But
it would be cool to compare that to a 12.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. But the 18 year is freaking like $400.
Really?
Like there's holy a secondary shit. Market that's even more for it.
Damn.
You may have to either go to Japan or know someone.
Well, you're going to Japan, hopefully.
We said if we don't go to Japan, we'll go to Scotland anyway. So either way, it's a win.
Wow, the nose on this is good. It's you don't get any abrasive alcohol off of it. It's like apple-y sweet.
Yeah. Like this is like the traditional like kind of fruity-ish honeysuckle. Like honeysuckle is like the right word for me for this one. Mm-hmm. Just because it's not super sweet, but it has that sweet undertones to it. Did you ever hunt honeysuckles when you were a kid?
Yep. I used to eat them all the time.
Did that shit all the time.
It tastes like shit now.
I don't think I've had one since I was a kid.
So. I have some in my backyard.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You just bite the little nibs off the end of them? Yeah, they taste nothing like honey.
Oh.
And maybe it's just because...
They're not wild? I guess they're wild, but not?
Maybe. I don't know. I remember as a kid always eating honeysuckles. Yeah. They were just... Yeah. Like, you see the flower, I could just pick them off and just eat the little nubs off them all
day. Well, I'll go camping. I think my mom was the first one that ever showed me that you could eat a honeysuckle, and I just blew my freaking mind. So I just did it all the time.
Yeah.
It was so good.
As a kid, you're like, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
It's like candy growing.
I'm eating a flower. I'm eating a flower. It claims succulent with soft fruit. Okay, I get it.
Sure.
I hate the word succulent. Oh, I hate the word succulent.
Succulent.
My mom actually has a shirt that says succulent. It makes me ill every time I see it. Nose, they're claiming peach, pineapple, grapefruit, clove, candied orange, not candied orange peel, a little bit of vanilla, and Japanese oak.
12 years, man. It's a long time in a barrel.
But I don't get the harshness, like the 15-year old fits. Like, that was woody. And this is, 3 years. I 3 years, whatever. But I don't get all that wood coming out of this one.
Well, this probably isn't that high a proof.
Yep.
And it also isn't probably a fresh, like, virgin oak barrel either.
Yeah, 43% alcohol, so comes a little under most other things. I think they purposely use Japanese oak and not other oak to make it a Japanese product and not a imported type product. They have to toast them, you know? This bottling gets its influence primarily from American ex-bourbon barrels, but ex-Spanish Oloroso sherry and Japanese oak barrels are also in employ. So they triple barrel this.
Beam Centauri, so they're getting ex-bourbon barrels from Jim Beam,
right?
Obviously.
I tell you what, when I visit the Yamazaki distillery next year, visiting their cooperage or understanding how they barrel this shit.
Yeah.
It's going to be, because it's right now it's kind of a...
It's kind of a mystery.
They use 3 barrels, making sure they put that Japanese oak in there as well, but what is it actually barreled in? What staves? How's it toasted? Everything else.
Even though it still has a 12-year age statement, it could still be blended with other whiskeys from that same age, just like, oh, were you taking some of this, some of that, put it together. It's not a single barrel.
Right. And it's also from the oldest distillery, arguably, in Japan.
Taste on this is definitely my favorite of the night.
Yeah, by far. Whatever they claim, whatever they do, the nose is awesome. The taste is even better.
Yes.
And the finish is just, it's even, it's good.
43%, this is an easy drinker.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's an easy lover.
It's a dangerous one.
Yeah.
Because you could just drink it and drink it and drink it, and you just spend $150 on a bottle you drink in a weekend.
This is a good bottle to sit around and shoot the shit with.
Right.
Like, you can still, like, take a sip and be like, oh, that's fucking good.
Mm-hmm. This has that upfront mouthfeel that I expect all Japanese whiskeys to have. I think because this stands out in my mind the most when I think Japanese whiskey. A little bit of dryness, but it's still very good fruity. Not overly fruity, not overly sweet. Type of a thing.
Well balanced.
As it should be for the price, too. If you look at the price point that we went up to tonight, start off at 40, 80, 80, and jump to the 150 range.
Yeah.
This is almost double.
Right.
Vicky.
3 times of the Akashi.
Right. Would you buy 3 Akashis or would you buy 1 Yamazaki?
I would not buy the Akashi again.
Okay.
So.
Fair enough. We need to have a show of like $150 bottles,
mm-hmm,
and just see, is it really worth it? Is it not?
That's kind of what we're doing right now. We hit a pretty good spectrum here.
It's sad that we call $150 high end too, because it's
what we are, you know. We're not I think most people do.
Right.
If you're drinking whiskey.
So I'm gonna go grab that lag off the shelf. I'm gonna put it in that Akashi, like I said I was going to.
Do that, but first go back to the Akashi before you do your blend.
Okay, so go to Yamazaki first.
And now just try a little bit of the Akashi. Just taste it and tell me what you get out of it.
It's so much sweeter, but like a fake sweetness to the nose right now.
Yeah, it does, yes.
Yeah.
Like it's almost a flavored whiskey.
Yeah. Yep, I 100% agree right now. It's like Glyph put some sweetener in it. Oh.
Yeah, weird.
That's disgusting, though.
Yeah, it's
weird.
You
can't go back to Akashi once you had Yamazaki. Oh, my God, that's bad. And you get a lot of fake vanilla.
Yes.
Out of the Akashi now after going high end. Wow. Interesting.
Yep. I wanted to do that just to like
high
end to low end. Sometimes when you go from low end, you just progressively work your way up like, oh, this is so good. And you kind of forget where you started. Go back to that. Even a $40 bottle isn't a cheap bottle. But just going back to that and like, you see where your quality and where your money kind of goes.
I 100% agree right now. I'm not going to put the Lagavulin in the Akashi. It's hard to drink. It's really hard to drink right now. Anyway, coming back to the...
Just ruined your whole
thanks a lot, science. Asshole. It's not my bottle. It's your bottle, so I'm good. The Yamazaki claims the palate has coconut in it. I didn't want to read that because I fucking hate coconut so much. But I didn't get a lot of coconut out of the palate, so guys over at... Suntory, you guys lied on the palate. I don't get coconut. So since I wasn't going to do the blend that I was going to do with the Akashi, I'm going to actually do a bit of the Yamazaki, and I'm going to put a drop or two of the log in there.
Wow.
So
you're going high end.
If you want to join me, you're more than welcome to. Right. So we got a few things to talk about yet. So we could talk about doing some shopping. What my dream last night, which is... quite interesting. It had to do with shopping, of course.
We'll throw a couple drops of the Lagavulin in mine.
Is that Yamazaki?
Yes.
You want me to try mine first before you ruin yours?
No, I'll go with you on the journey. Fuck it. It's your whiskey.
Ooh, maybe too much. Hold on. So when I blend it, I don't stir it around because I want to get the nose of it, but I still want to taste.
Okay.
Like in layers. Oh, I don't get a lot of peat out of it.
People listening be like, what the fuck is he doing? Okay.
We'll see. I don't know what to think about it. So anyway, so back to my dream. So I had a dream that I was down at Stark's Liquor, and we took a big road trip down there in like a 1970s, like old station wagon or whatever.
Hey.
And our buddy Joe, who was in a wheelchair, he was with me. And for the life of me, I couldn't find him throughout my whole dream, but I know he was with me. And so I go into Stark's, and I knew they had a very rare release, and they were going to let us buy it first. So I got lucky. And I got four bottles.
Okay.
Two bottles of the original. For some reason in my dream, it was called the CSCS, one of my certifications for fitness. But it was the CSCS.
Ooh.
I got two bottles for me. One for you.
Tastes like sweat.
And then they had two like off product bottles. Like you have the bottle A that everybody wants. But then again, they had the bottle B. So, like, they had, like, the Yamazaki 12-year, and then they had the Yamazaki blended in a smaller bottle. So, I got two of each of those. And old man Stark or whatever, he's like, oh, come in the back room, and you can set them back here, and, you know, it'll be all good. So, I put them in the back room to go find Joe.
Yeah.
And son of a bitch, they let everybody in the store, and I lost my bottles.
Oh.
So, my bottles got stolen, and then I went to go find Joe, because he had more money for me to buy more bottles. I couldn't find Joe. I ended up finding him. I couldn't find his wheelchair. But I found him. So my dream ended up ending me carrying Joe to the car and without any whiskey.
Were you in your underwear?
No, I was not.
Okay.
So terrible. It was almost a nightmare, I guess.
Yeah, that's freaking weird. That's how those dreams work.
Yeah.
I think dreams like that are your body's way preparing you for worst case scenarios.
I would agree.
Because then you just like, oh shit, because you're afraid of a situation where, like this, you're in a liquor store, you found exactly what you want. But there's something standing in your way, like I don't have the money, or somebody got there first, or I don't have the cash. And then how do you deal with that situation? Now at least you've kind of been through it once.
Is carrying Joe without a wheelchair one of my fears as well?
don't know if it's one of your fears, but it's something that maybe
could happen. Yeah.
I mean, he's a little lighter now, but
but big lanky guy. Jesus, he's 6'5".
Yeah.
You drag him on the ground.
I would just think that it's one of those things like you don't want to do, and maybe you fear having to do it, but at least you can say,
sure,
in your own psyche, you've already kind of done it, so you're a little bit prepared for it.
I agree.
So when it happens, it's not such a shock to the system.
Yeah.
I think dreams prepare us for realities that we haven't faced yet.
You ever died in one of your dreams before?
I feel like I have. Okay. People say you can't die in your dreams, but I know I've been in situations where I've had dreams where I've like crashed or I've like been like brutally dismembered and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And craziest dream I've ever had was when I was a kid and I was stuck in a combine. Yes. And I couldn't get out and I was like trying to reach out and it was moving. And
like in the back where the grain goes in, or is it like in the front where the forks are and just eating you up like a freaking...
I was inside.
Okay.
It wasn't a combine. It was a baler.
Okay.
It was a hay baler.
Okay.
And I was stuck inside the baler and my brothers were, they could see me in there and I couldn't get out and okay. They weren't like really doing anything to help me.
Sure.
And the song Uptown Girl by Billy Joel was playing really? In my dream. Every time I hear the song Uptown Girl.
You're stuck in a baler?
I get fucking chills.
Oh God.
I do. And I've been listening to a lot of Billy Joel lately. I've been like listening to it on purpose to get me over that because every time it comes on the radio,
sure.
I'm just, oh, fuck. Like you just get that weird, like that fearful feeling of when you're faced with the fear. You know, you get that
oh,
weird
sure.
feeling.
Yeah.
Like, that's what yeah. happens when I hear that song.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to get over that by listening to more Billy Joel.
God.
Yep.
A fucking weird. Baler.
Weird dreams.
Yeah. Dude. Never had an accident with a baler before. We had a kid that I was growing up with got hit in the face with a lift, like on the back of a baler. The
okay.
The pressure lift that throws the bales.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking smoked him right in the face when Damn. He was working on it. Yeah. He lived too. He just reconstructive surgery and Ooh. Lost all his teeth. Call him Critter.
Call him Critter. Yeah. Probably call him that before the accident.
Yeah, it was before the accident. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a stinky little bastard.
No, he really looks like a critter. Critter, if you're listening. This drink's for you.
He ain't listening. I don't think he knows what a podcast is.
Christopher has blended Yamazaki 12-year with Lagavulin 16-year.
What do you think?
I think it tastes like watered-down liquid smoke.
I don't get much peat out of it.
I get a little bit on the end.
Yeah. It's still got the smoothest of the Yamazaki, but nothing stands out. It's too much going into one thing. It's not a good blend.
It cheapens it.
Yeah.
Which is weird because you're putting two...
High ends
together.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't think it would. That's why we blend sometimes, just to try crazy.
Yeah, it's fun. You never know what's going to happen. That's a science. Like compass box. I don't know how the hell they do it. It's a lot of drinking, a
lot of fucking around like this.
Yeah, that's
like
good,
oh,
yeah.
Let's put this and this
yeah,
together.
I like it.
I'm sure they've had a lot of things that taste like shit before. They
oh God, yeah.
Actually figured yeah. out what tastes good.
But they probably don't pay much for what they blend. I'm sure people send shit to them and.
Oh, I'm sure they just get barrels.
Way to go. Way to go.
Barrels and barrels. And all you do is take a little bit out, a little drip of this, a little drip of that.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine how much those guys, like their palates are worth.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
They probably have their taste buds insured.
Like Beyonce's ass or whatever it was.
Yep.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I got it. Yeah. Yeah.
Who's that Shackleton guy?
I don't know.
That really eccentric Scotch taster. Like he tastes it and he swishes it around and he like throws it and like
oh really
of, can't think of his name. He's like the biggest name in Scotch.
Really?
Yeah, just like a really exuberant
really
taster.
Arrogant about it all and
yeah
just
and apparently his mouth is
stretched around like a peacock
insured for like $1 million. So if he were to like burn himself on a slice of pizza he'd get like $1 million
burn himself on a slice of pizza
like something it. Like that I don't know and that's his livelihood.
So I went shopping in my dream. What'd you go shopping for?
Shopping in real life?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done a bit of shopping. I did some shopping for Sam this week. On the episode he was on, he wanted some of that Port Charlotte that you have. So
yeah.
I picked up a bottle of that for him. Then I knew we were going trick-or-treating, so I wanted to get a nice, easy drinker, so I picked up some Monkey Shoulder.
Did you know the Monkey Shoulder is like the Halloween scotch that we've drank for years?
I did. That's why I picked it
okay.
up. You told me you guys yeah. always drank Monkey Shoulder when yeah. you did trick-or-treating, so I'm like, oh, I'm going to get some Monkey Shoulder.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Very good.
And I did blend some Ardbeg with it when I was out there.
And?
It was delicious.
Yeah.
I fucking drank a lot of it.
Yeah.
Half a bottle of Monkey Shoulder with quite a few ounces of
it's Ardbeg. It's funny because when we stopped at my house, I stopped and filled my cup up with the Oogdahl. And I still had some left when we went back to your house.
Yeah.
And I put monkey shoulder in there, so it was a blend too.
There you go.
It was good, yeah. Yep. Monkey shoulder and any hard bag squid. You bought something for the group too, didn't you?
I did find a Compass Box Myth and Legends 3.
Right. I love Compass Box.
They haven't done me wrong yet.
Yeah. I want to find a bottle of that Flaming Heart, and I think that'd be another high-end bottle I'd
That's a high-end bottle for sure.
Jump for.
So good, though.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, they just can't go wrong.
That's the blending, though. You take that time and you blend and you make something fucking great out of a lot of different items.
Great product, great marketing.
Yeah, I love them. I love their website, too.
Beautiful label. Yeah, everything about them is just awesome.
You can download a PDF on Compass Box and it'll tell you, for some of the products, it'll tell you on a little pie chart of how much of each different whiskey's in that whiskey.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm like, ooh. Now you could pull those singles out if you want. You can, you know.
Yep.
Or just go with their blend and just rock on.
I love that they do that where you can kind of see what's coming from what. Because
right.
As a connoisseur, which I'd say we are connoisseurs, we like to know what's
right.
In what we're drinking.
Right.
That's what I like about bourbons and like single malt scotches is you know what you're getting out of it. Some of these Japanese whiskeys, like, yeah, they taste great, but where does it all come from? Sometimes the mystery is great, but sometimes I just want to know. Like, I want to know what I'm putting in my mouth.
I think it'd be fun to take one of those Compass Box that does have the pie chart and go find those three bottles or four bottles that are in it.
Try to recreate
it. And just recreate it. Yeah. See what happens. Yeah.
Totally. I would.
That would be so cool.
I don't know. Mm. What'd you buy?
I picked up the Whistle Pig little sample pack. Had the 10, 12, and 15 year in it for $25.
Good deal.
Yeah. You paid $20 for yours at Woody's.
Yep.
But I also picked up the Lagavulin 16 year and it was on sale for $75.
Nice.
It's a great deal for a great bottle of freaking Pete Descott. Normally, I think on their shelf, it was like 90 something.
Okay.
And it was $75 or whatever. But they had the Jack Daniel's Sinatra on sale too. It was like 150 or under 150.
I've seen the Lagavulin dropping in price.
Really?
I wonder why that is.
I don't know.
Wouldn't you think Scotch would be going up in price?
Maybe people aren't buying the high-end Scotch because of the price only went up because of the tariffs and stuff like that. So they need to drop the price to get rid of some of their stock of it. Because, I mean, they have fucking bottles of this stuff there. I mean, it's not like they had one bottle on the shelf. Well,
Lagavulin 16 isn't a rare bottle either. It's a very
predominant,
like, that's probably one of Diageo's big Scotches.
If I'm going to take the jump on a high-end Scotch without spending a ton of money on it, that'd probably be the one. $100. It's not $150.
Nope. It's tried and true, too.
Yeah.
You know that's just a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Swanson drinks it.
is that the 16 is what we drink, or just Lagavulin in general?
Well, usually it's the 16.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, but Lagavulin 16 is the one.
Yeah. I mean, this would be a shelf sitter for me, because I bought it, a week and a half ago, and it's fucking damn near gone.
Yeah.
And I blend it with stuff. I definitely blend it with the Writer's Tears. Just drink it neat on ice, or neat or on ice.
If you have a whiskey collection, or even like just a home bar, and you need a good scotch, that would be the one scotch to have.
Plus, you can find it for $75. I mean, that was cheaper, about the same price as the Port Charlotte, and they're very comparable.
We've really been on a scotch kick, though, this fall.
Yeah.
We're going to have to start doing some more bourbon shows, I think, because we're running out of scotch to do.
Yeah. Well, I think we got a bourbon show coming up for Veterans Veterans Day and stuff like that. So
we have a lot of good shows coming up. This episode here is actually the lost episode.
It is.
So we recorded this episode once already. We lost it. We don't know exactly when we're going to be releasing it. So
I'm glad we did it again, though.
Yeah, me too.
We just didn't get rid of it.
Looking forward, we're not really going to tell you what we're doing next week because we don't know when we're actually going to air this episode.
But right.
Just, you know, we got lots of good stuff coming up. Always check our Facebook. Check out what's going on there. Check out our Instagram, Two Guys Drink a Whiskey Podcast. And wherever you're listening, make sure you subscribe. If you really like it, tell a friend about it so that we can build our movement to total whiskey world domination. You got anything else to add?
I don't. No, I'm very satisfied with the whiskey tonight. So it's,
yeah, me too.
Go make some chicken wings and
get on with it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again, everybody. Have a good one. Cheers.
Cheers.